Holy Spirit, we do welcome your presence in this place, Lord God. Move. Move as you see fit. Thank you. We invite you. The manifestation of your glory and your presence in our very midst. Oh, how we bless you and we honor you, O Lord. We bless you and we honor you, O Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Magnify you, Lord. Glorify you. Hallelujah. Praise be to God. Praise be to God. Hallelujah. 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 Praise God. Amen, amen, amen. Praise the Lord. Well, you may be seated. Praise God. Hallelujah. We thank you. Thank the Lord for his presence in this place. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Amen, amen. You know, we are spirit beings, and there are realms. You know, we're used to this natural realm, I think. At least most of us are. I think we all are. But there is a realm, a greater realm, a spiritual realm. And we are created to live and move in that realm, spirit beings. In fact, that's where we're going to start tonight, 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. But, you know, most of the time that we have services, we don't necessarily say anything to the worship team. Just let them follow the leading of the Lord. I didn't say anything to them tonight. I had looked at the schedule, the song schedule, but not really paid that much attention to going this direction. But then just kind of flowed right into what we want to talk about tonight. The presence of the Lord, the living in the reality that the Spirit of God lives on the inside of us, or living in the Spirit. We could call it that way. That's just not for the ministry. You know, we expect in our churches and in our ministers that they be led by the Spirit of God. But the Bible doesn't say the pastor. If anybody's a pastor, they'll be led by the Spirit of God. The Bible says that all Christians are to be led by the Spirit of God. If you are children, then in heirs. The children of God are led by His Spirit. Because first and foremost, we are created in the image of God. There are some scriptures we're not going to turn to. But in John chapter 4, Jesus said that God is Spirit. And they that worship Him must worship Him in spirit and truth. God is a spirit being. Now, that doesn't mean He doesn't have a form. Spiritual things are more real than natural things. This table here is, we call it solid, but science actually tells us that if you could break it down and look at it, the molecules in this table are moving, but they're moving so slow that it makes a solid. But given enough time, years and years and years, just, you know, it will eventually just fall apart. Amen? Because that's what happens in natural things. But spiritual things are eternal. It's a greater realm. And it's a realm we are to live in. Praise the Lord. And so we want to talk a little bit about that tonight and living in this realm. This is not just for ministry. In fact, praise God, the Spirit of God leads us. But you know, there's so many things that in life, especially in the time that we live in. Think about the time that we live in. Do you think it's valuable to be led by the Spirit of God? Not even in just the time we live in, I guess. But you know, I think about sometimes, over the years, I've seen where things have happened to people, and you wonder where did they shut off the leading of the Spirit of God? Because I found this about God: He always does His part. Always does His part. I know of situations, you know, where one situation I'm thinking of where a fellow was going off to work in the morning, and never really happened. His wife said to him, "Now, just wait a minute. I think I want to go with you today. just feel like I should go, no, no, you take too long. I want to get this done. I don't have time to wait for you. All right? And so that was the last time that they talked to one another. He had an accident on the job, got himself back to a certain place, and they took him to the hospital. He never regained consciousness, went home to be with the Lord. Now, did he go to heaven? Absolutely. But see, God had done his part. He had, even though he was so busy. How many of you know you can get so busy, you don't listen to the leading of the Lord? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Well, praise the Lord. Did you find 1 Thessalonians chapter 5? Yes. But even in busy, even in the busy times, you can make it so that it doesn't matter how busy you are. You are so in tune to the voice of the Spirit of God and your own human spirit that you are being led by and guided by the Spirit even though you're busy. You know. Sometimes we say you can get too busy, you're so busy you don't hear the Spirit of God. But how many of you know you can be busy and hear the Spirit of God in life? You know, life is busy, isn't it? And but there's times, you know, we need to learn how to set aside and be able to be in the natural realm operating, but be listening in the Spirit and be attuned to the Spirit of God. You know, sometimes there's supernatural leadings of God. Sometimes it's not. It's just a knowing on the inside. And we need to learn how to follow all of those things. Amen. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. Now I'm reading from the King James Bible, but you know, I kind of tend to take the these and thous out if they're there sometimes, okay? I'm reading verse 23, 1 Thessalonians 5. And the very God of peace sanctify you holy. Now, notice here, it's not H-O-L-Y, it's W-H-O-L-Y, or your whole being. All right, then he says, and I pray God your whole, see, so put those words together, spirit and soul and body be preserved blameless unto the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. Now, I think this helped, the way this is worded really helps us to understand that the spirit, the soul, and the body are three separate parts of mankind, if you will. You and me, we are spirits, we have a soul, and we live in a body. The body, kind of, if you want to think of it this way, it kind of acts as your earth suit. It allows you to exist in this earth. Amen. Jesus talked about being born of the Spirit, but being also born of the natural, born of woman. And all of us, you know, have that commonality about us, but we are spirit beings. With our spirit, we contact the spirit realm. Amen. That realm where God sits as king. Amen. The kingdom of God. That's where God contacts us. When God speaks to us, he doesn't do it through our mind, even though sometimes it seems like it, but it comes from our spirit. And a lot of times, you know, you've heard ministers or heard others say, we need to become God inside minded. God on the inside. Well, you know, so many times I think we get in the habit of looking for our answers out here somewhere, when really it's on the inside. Now, I'm confident tonight that if you listen, you'll hear more on the inside what the Spirit of God says to you than I could ever say out of my mouth and into your ears. Right? You know, tell students all the time, listen on the inside. Listen in here. Not just, yes, listen to what's being said under the anointing of God, but then on the inside, listen. That's why you realize this. You can get something at every service you go to. It doesn't matter. You know, some people, well, I don't get anything from them. That's your fault. As the Holy Spirit's the same. Right? Now, I realize, you know, that we have, and don't tell Doug Jones I said this, but we have folks, you know, that we receive from easier than others, and we like, well, that's my favorite, even though, you know, Doug quotes that there, and he's right, there in 1 Corinthians chapter 1. Some said, I'm of Paul. Others said, I'm of Peter. Some said, I'm of Doug. And some said, I'm of Jesus. Paul said, you're all carnal. So I understand that. But I realize you do have personalities and you've hooked to that. But the Holy Spirit's the same. Same Holy Spirit that you're receiving that's talking to you while that person will talk to you while they're speaking. Amen? So listen on the inside, see. Listen on the inside. That's why, you know, it's important that we learn to not just come and hear sermons, but come to hear from God. These are the times, you know, when we come together corporately, where God gives the corporate body direction. He'll speak to you individually. But I found this most of the time individually when it's in a church service, when God's talking to me, I find it most of the time, yes, he talks to me personally, but then when it's anytime it's ministry oriented, it has to do with the local church and my part in it. You know, all of you are part of the local church, Rhema Bible Church. Every one of you are important. There's not one of you that we can do without. You're all part of the body. You know, now I realize we can, you know, you can still live without certain parts of your body, but it's not the best, is it? And we need every part of our body working and functioning together and doing their part. Now, you know, just like this, and I didn't, but you know, it's as the Spirit wills that we have different parts and they do different things. You know, I'm sure now, you know, if we just talk about our natural body, I don't know if there's an elbow lobby in heaven where some of you say, I want to be an elbow. No, I don't know that, you know. But, you know, if you're in the body of Christ and God makes you an elbow or whatever that would be in the body of Christ, you know, then just be happy being an elbow. Right? Amen. But we are spirit and we contact, and that is a realm, that's the realm that is eternal. It's a realm that all of this is birthed from. Now, a lot of what we have in our natural is corrupted, right? Because of sin. And this isn't, you know, some people look, well, everything that happens is God. No, everything that happens hasn't been God's will. And the things that happen in the earth aren't necessarily always God's will. But this all springs forward originally from God's creation. You remember, God spoke and these things happened. Where was the material, think about that, that made the heavens and the earth? Well, it was inside God. God is spirit. Faith is the substance. Things hoped for. See, when you look at things from a spiritual perspective, you see that you're not without. You have substance. You have faith. You have faith. That becomes the substance of the thing that you have desired and have the promise of from the Word of God. Well, let's look at a few things. Galatians chapter 6 here. Galatians chapter 6. Actually going to kind of go backwards in the book of Galatians just to see some things. There's some statements made here. And it's kind of interesting, as I look back on the last, maybe 5-6 years of my sermons that I preach in this time of the year here at Rhema Bible Church, most of them are along this line. Now, I don't know if that's because I'm also teaching a class in a school called Keys to Supernatural Ministry, and it gets me thinking about it. I don't know. It could be. But I think these are things that, you know, we have to, I don't know about you, but there's a lot of things that I on purpose review over and over again. Right? Faith doesn't come because you heard it once. It comes by hearing and hearing by the Word of God. And Peter said, I'm going to put you in, as long as I'm in this body, I'm going to put you in remembrance. And, you know, we can let things slip. We can let things go. Brother Hagin told us, he said, continually feed yourself an area of healing and faith. And those things. And pray a lot. What do you say? Pray a lot in other tongues. That's the doorway into the spirit. Doorway into the supernatural. Galatians 6 verse 1 says, brethren, if a man be overtaken in a fault, you which are spiritual. Well, underline that in your Bible. Or put it in your notes. You which are spiritual, restore such a one in the spirit, or the attitude really here, of meekness. Considering yourself, lest you also be tempted. You which are spiritual. Now, just taking that as what it says there, is it possible then that he's talking to some at the church at Galatia and us as Christians, that it is possible that some of us aren't spiritual? Because he says, you which are spiritual, restore such a one. I got to thinking about this not too long ago talking about this, you which are spiritual. He went on to say, restore such one in the spirit of meekness, considering yourself, lest you also be tempted. And as I was thinking about this and looking at things, because, you know, there's there there's a lot of things involved here. If you see a man be overtaken in a fault, well, that's kind of a way to say, if you see your brother's sin, if you see somebody's sin, and I know that it's very important, what do we do when it comes to us where we've got somebody basically in our hands to deal with who's sinned? How do we treat them? How do we react towards them? Now, Jesus said, do unto others as you would have them do unto you, right? So how many of you, if you got overtaken in a fault, would enjoy some mercy, right? Somebody be merciful towards you. Well, there's that aspect of it. But then he tells us the spiritual person here is a meek person. That's a humble person. That's a meek. Jesus said, remember, take my yoke, all you that are, you know, basically tired, worn out, and under a burden, come unto me. He said, I'll give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me. For I am meek, he said, and lowly of heart. And you shall find rest for your souls. And I'd read that for years and left out that part, that I am meek. That's what he wants us to learn. Because if you are meek and you are humble, then you're going to know how to do this. So that's an aspect of it. Then another aspect here, he says, consider yourself lest you also be tempted. So that tells me this. In restoration, yes, we have to make a judgment that what took place was sin. But in restoration, there is no condemnation. Now, think about Romans chapter 8, verse 1. All right, I didn't put that on my list, but I'm going to turn over and read it. Romans 8, verse 1 says this. There is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. That's the same, saying the same thing. When you are spiritual, you're not walking after the flesh. So walking after the Spirit and walking in the Spirit is being spiritual. But notice when you're doing that, there's no condemnation. Condemnation because when I condemn you for what you've done, then I've set myself up to be tempted to do the same thing you've done. Consider yourself, lest you also be tempted. Amen. Now, I've told the students a story here that I don't know if I've told it in church, but I have. Just pretend you haven't heard it. Well, I had a fella that Pastor Marvin and I both went to school with, first year student, when we were first year. And during that year, somebody connected to the student body had gotten arrested for, you know, terrible. They had molested a child. Horrible thing. And it was announced to us that took place during a time we were all student body were together. And this young man sat there, you know, like me at the time in his early 20s. And he sat there and he said, I got so disgusted. He told me this later. He said, I got so disgusted. I thought, how in the world could a Christian do something like that? He said, I got so mad that I just got up. I got up right then and I walked. He said, I lived at student. I got up and walked back over to student housing. I didn't even come back for third hour. He said, in fact, I didn't come to school the rest of the week. I was so mad. How could that happen? He said, it started going over and over in my mind. How could a Christian do something like that? How could they do it? He said, brother, he said, I couldn't. He said, I would not. He said, wasn't I couldn't. I chose. I would not forgive him. He said, brother, he said, when he was telling me this story, he said, I spent 15 years in federal penitentiary for child molestation. He said, I held that against him until he said exactly what it said there. I was tempted. He said, because I didn't react in meekness and wasn't humble about it, I fell for the same trap. Now, I'm not going to say that's specifically going to happen to you in that degree, but I'm saying if you're spiritual, you recognize. Amen. Now, see, I don't know if you're the Holy Ghost is in this place right now. It's as much a Holy Ghost meeting as running, shouting, jumping, and that's fun. These times aren't so fun, but boy, they're good. Amen. Let's go back there to Galatians. Hallelujah. Let's look in chapter 5. You doing all right? It's all right. Hey, we'll sew you up before we get done here. I know we cut you open. We'll get you sewed up. Now here, verse 16 of Galatians 5. This I say then, walk in the Spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. How many of you know, if I'm led by the Spirit of God, I'm not going to get over into the flesh. I'm not going to get into sin. Amen. The Spirit of God would never lead me in that way. So I can know this about myself. If I do miss it, if I do get in sin, I did not follow the leading of the Holy Spirit. All right? I know that. Now see, I didn't say you, I said me, all right? For the flesh lusts against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh. Now, well, that's the Holy Spirit, but you realize this. Your spirit, the new man on the inside, and your flesh that used to be, all these, the flesh doesn't always want to do things. You know, there is a carnal nature, and if you're not, but thank God we can renew our mind, present our bodies, and we can train our flesh. He said, these are contrary to one another, so you cannot do the things you would. But if you be led of the Spirit, you're not under the law. Then he talks about the works of the flesh, which are manifest. Adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, variance, emulations, wrath, strife, seditions, heresies, envies, murders, drunkenness, revelings, and of such like. Now notice all those things he said are works of the flesh. Works of the flesh. Things that your flesh will go to if you just let it do whatever it wants because of what's in this world. And there's, you know, it's interesting, the word witchcraft there is the word, if you look that up, it's associated with drug use. So any of these things here, you know. Now, I realize that the devil could be involved in these things and the spirit could be oppressing people and on them in these things. They've opened the door to allow that. But he calls them here works of the flesh. Why? What can we say? Here's what will happen if you're not led of the Spirit. Now, he's writing to Christians here, folks. All right, keep reading here. Verse 22. But the fruit of the Spirit, there we go again, is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. And they that are Christ have crucified the flesh with the affections and lust. If we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. Well, we just read that we our whole spirit, soul, body, we are spirit beings. We're living in the Spirit. Let's go ahead and walk like it. In other words, live out your daily life like you are a spirit being. And really, it's just doing what comes, if you will, instead of natural, it's just doing what comes spiritual. If you understand what I mean. Let me say it this way. It's natural for you as a Christian, a spirit being, to live and operate led by the Spirit of God and in the spirit realm. And to see and know things even before they come. And to know exactly what to do in every situation. For that's the heritage of the children of God. It's not that we're to walk around in blindness and in darkness and to not know what's happening and even what's to come. God wants to show each and every one of us what to expect and what we're going to have and what things are going to be like. For that is what walking and living in the Spirit will produce. And the more time we spend ourselves training ourselves, this word that Jesus, he said, the words that I speak to you, they are spirit and they are life. The more time we spend in the Word of God and the more time we spend praying in the mighty Holy Ghost, praying in the Spirit, the more readily we will receive that direction and know exactly what it is we're supposed to do. Not guessing. Paul prayed in Ephesians, he said, in chapter 1 there, he said, that you may know what is the hope of your life. Not guess, no. We're not supposed to live a life guessing. We've got the all-knowing one on the inside of us. Amen. I ought to know ahead of time when I'm going to work in the morning. I ought to know ahead of time if there's going to be anything trouble-wise. And I can take care of it ahead of time. Amen. By the Spirit of God. Amen. Like I said, these days we live in, you know, you've got to know, is it safe to be there or not? Should I go do this or not? Not just go along, you know. And live just like you're a natural person. You're not. Look at Galatians chapter 3 now, verse 1. Hallelujah. Galatians chapter 3, verse 1. O foolish Galatians, he says here. Who has bewitched you that you should not obey the truth, before whose eyes Jesus Christ has been evidently set forth crucified among you? This only would I learn of you. Received you the Spirit by the works of the law or by the hearing of faith? Are you so foolish, having begun in the Spirit, are you now made perfect by the flesh? Now, I mean, a big part of the context here is, look, don't try to earn from God what he's already given us by grace and through the Spirit. But the other aspect of that is this. Listen, are we trying? We entered into this Christian life by the Spirit. Why are we living it in the flesh? Amen. Now, you know, if we're living it in the flesh, you are and I are limited to the ability that we have, and that's it. But when we live in the Spirit, we live according to God's ability. Amen. And all things are possible with him. Amen. Right? Now, he goes on to say here, are you so, verse 4, have you suffered so many things in vain, if it be yet in vain? He therefore that ministered to you the Spirit and works miracles among you, does he it by the works of the law or by the hearing of faith? Now here again, notice this. Living and walking in the Spirit is accompanied by miracles. And he doesn't act like these miracles are anything special or out of the ordinary. They're just natural for those that are in the Spirit. You see, it's not. If we can just get anointed, just get enough anointed preachers. That's not it. If we just can get the body of Christ to live and walk in the Spirit. Amen. You remember Stephen in Acts chapter 6? He was a man full of faith, right? And the Holy Ghost. Right? Those things, those qualifications, they had to be there. And he's going around, and the Bible said he's having miracles take place while he's basically handing out groceries. He shows up at some woman's house, you know, one of those widows, and they showed up there, and, hey, can I help? Here's your groceries today, and she's not feeling too good. He's praying. She's bowed over. She's raised up by the time he leaves. I mean, miracles are taking place. He's not a preacher. As far as we know, he only preached one sermon and they stoned him to death after that. Right? That's the only sermon we have recorded that he preached. But it was a good one. The Apostle Saul of Tarsus was there, who became the Apostle Paul not too long after that. Some of you said, well, Jesus did. No, he'd heard the word. He'd heard Stephen's sermon. Praise the Lord. He goes on here to say, even Abraham believed God, and it was accounted to him for righteousness. Know you therefore that they which are of faith, the same are the children of Abraham. See, Abraham lived. This walking in the Spirit is living by and in faith. It's living by and in faith. It is taking God at his word and saying what God's word has to say about you. Now, any of you that have been to prayer school at all with Miss Leanne, you know this. I know the Holy Spirit. Right? Because Jesus said, you will know him. I know him. Amen. Well, what do you mean you know him? I know him. I know how he acts. I know how he thinks. I know what he sounds like. I recognize his voice. I know the good shepherd too. And I follow his voice. The voice of the stranger I will not follow. Now, you're not going to have those things just because you think it. You're going to have to declare it and then act on it. I think that's one thing that has changed in the last, I've been in this 36 years, but one thing that's changed since 1980 when I got into this is we've gotten complacent in our confession and what we're saying. We're not as strict on ourselves. Now don't be strict on one, but strict on ourselves over what we say. Amen. How many of you, you've been around long enough, you know what I'm talking about, right? I mean, we used to watch what we said. We would never say anything that sounded like it was against the Word of God. So, you know, you couldn't get us to say it. I remember one time some minister was trying to lead us, the congregation in confession I was in. I wasn't at, this wasn't my church, but they wanted everybody to say, I'm sick and tired. I wouldn't say it. I wouldn't have said I was sick and tired for nothing. But you know, I've noticed if I look back, if I be honest with you, over the last several years, I've probably said I'm sick or I'm tired several times. But there was a time I wouldn't have said it. You couldn't have made me say it. You know, basically, it's just if it's cost me my life, I'll go to heaven praising God. I'm not going to say I'm sick and tired because Jesus has borne my sickness and carried my disease, and the Lord is my strength.
Amen.
Amen. I remember some of those old, when we first came over into Pentecostal, amongst Pentecostal folks, they had that song, I can run through a troop and leap over a wall. I didn't know what a troop was. Yeah, hallelujah. That was the next line. I had no idea what a troop was, but I was running through it, glory to God. I didn't know any better. Praise the Lord. Look at verse 10 here. Let's pick up there. For as many as are of the works of the law are under the curse, for it is written, cursed is everyone that continues not in all things which are written in the book of the law to do them. But that no man is justified by the law on the sight of God is evident, for the just shall live by faith. Well, I'm going to say this to you. Living by faith and living by the Spirit or in the Spirit go together. Now, you are the just. You are the declared righteous, not by our own works, not by what you've done, but by what Jesus has done and the receiving of that by grace through faith. Now, he goes on to say, and the law is not of faith, but the man that does them shall live in them. Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law, being made a curse for us, for it is written, cursed is everyone that hangeth on a tree, that the blessing of Abraham might come on the Gentiles through Jesus Christ. Now notice this, that we might receive the promise of the Spirit through faith. Now I realize there's a lot could be said there. Part of that is become a child of God and being declared the righteousness of God. But notice that the promise of the Spirit through faith. One of the greatest differences between the old covenant and the new covenant is that we have the Spirit of God living on the inside of us, every one of us.
Amen.
In those days, the Spirit of God might come upon the prophet, the priest, or the king, but that was it. Wasn't available. I mean, when Elisha took the mantle of Elijah and slapped the Jordan River and said, where is the Lord God of Elijah? He was looking for him. We don't have to look for him. He's on the inside of us.
Amen.
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 Listen, I don't need Brother Hagin's God. I've got God.
Amen.
I don't need anybody else's anointing. I got enough for me. God's already set it aside for you and me. Everybody worry about who's going to get that anointing. Like you could bid for it or something. I understand. Now, there are associations and, you know, we pick up things and we're stronger together and you pick up on things like that. But listen, God has already prepared everything you're ever going to need in life and in ministry. Whatever he's called you to do, he's already prepared it ahead of time. That's called grace. He's already thought about it. Amen. And when we walk in the Spirit, he leads us along those lines so that we can partake of. It's kind of interesting here. I'm looking at this light. There's three different reflections right here of that table. And if I'm walking in the Spirit, I walk, take that step. It gets me into this aspect of what God has, whatever that is. Then I take the next step. I'm over here. It's all related to the same thing. I'm not running, but I'm taking this. The next step puts me right in the middle of this one. That's all we're talking about. Just taking those steps led by and living in the Spirit of God. We are not to live in the darkness of the unknown. Well, you never know what God's going to do. Yes, you do. It's in his word and he gave us his Spirit. And hey, don't forget that the Holy Spirit is God. God, the Holy Spirit.
Yes.
Roho Mtakatifu, if you want to know what it is in Swahili. That's what it is. God, the Holy Ghost. Amen. That's God in there. You think he knows what to do next? Well, I just don't know what. There again, quit saying you don't know.
Amen.
Amen. I'll never forget, I heard one minister say this, and you know, everybody kind of laughed about it, but I've come to understand what he meant, because I've had the same type of things and thoughts myself. He said that he kept, you know, going to God and doing this and doing that, and couldn't figure it out. And, you know, the Lord said to him, you need to learn the vocabulary of silence. What does that mean? Be quiet. Listen. Listen. Now, there's a time to talk, isn't there? David didn't keep his mouth shut when he's running towards the giant. Right? And there's a time you speak to the mountain. But are you speaking to the mountain or talking about it? See, there's a difference. I can speak to the mountain, tell it to be removed and cast into the sea, and then I can just walk away from it. But what a lot of us want to do, we want to start talking about it. Well, it looks like it's getting taller. It doesn't look like it's getting any shorter. Well, I thought, now mountain, what's wrong with you? You know, and you go ask everybody else, hey, have you had any success with your mountain? No, I've been talking to my mountain, and it hadn't moved any. He said, speak to the mountain, and it shall be removed. He didn't say, go consult with anybody. He said, speak to it. Hallelujah. Walking in the Spirit, walking in faith. Hey, it's for every one of us. Say it, I am a spirit. I have a soul. I live in a body. And I can walk in faith. Be led by the Spirit. I know the voice of the Holy Ghost. The mighty Holy Ghost who lives on the inside of me. Greater is he that's in me than he that is in the world. The greater one is on the inside of me. And he leads me. He guides me. I know what is my calling. I even know things to come. And he leads me and guides me into all the truth. And in everything, he will glorify Jesus in me. Amen. Praise the Lord. Let's all stand together if you would please. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Well, our prayer team's going to come up to the front here as we do on Sunday nights and Wednesday nights. If you need prayer for anything, maybe you're here tonight and you're not born again yet, and you need to accept Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, come on up, and the ladies will be on my right and your left, the guys on my left, your right, and they'll pray with you according to the Word of God, because that's what brings the result, is God's Word and faith in His Word. If you're here tonight and you're here for the very first time, Connection Team, would you find those folks that you already greeted? And if you got in here before that, and you're here for the first time, and we didn't catch you, just raise your hand. One of them will try to see you there. Get that special gift prepared from Pastor and Mrs. Hagen and from Rhema Bible Church. We're so glad that you're here. Let's give our first-time guests a big hand clap again. So glad that you're here. Are there any of the ladies here tonight that you're in for Kindle the Flame and you're heading home? Heading home, most of them are already probably packing already, but we just pray they have journey mercies as they head home. Well, tell somebody, I am a spirit. And then you can be dismissed. God bless you.